Come and go with me to my father's house, to my father's house, to my father's house. Come and go with me to my father's house. There is peace, peace, peace. Jesus will be there in my father's house. In my father's house, in my father's house, Jesus will be there in my father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. There'll be no sorrow there in my father's house, in my father's house, in my father's house. There'll be no sorrow there in my father's house. There'll be joy, joy, joy. There's eternal joy in my father's house. In my father's house, in my father's house. There's eternal joy in my father's house. There is joy, joy, joy. Hearts together swing, hands join a ring. Praises to Him sing, praises to Him sing. Hearts together swing, hands join a ring. There is love, love, love. Come and go with me. To my father's house, to my father's house, come and go with me to my father's house. There is peace, peace, peace. A rugged cross became his throne, his kingdom was in hearts alone. He wrote his love in crimson red, and he wore the thorn upon his head. There was no crown for him of silver nor of gold. There was no diadem for him to hold, but blood adored his it stayed before, and sinners gave to him the crown he wore. A rugged cross became his throne, his kingdom walked in hearts alone. He wrote his love in crimson red, and he wore upon his head. He did not reign upon the throne of ivory, but died upon the cross of Calvary. For sinners there he counted all he owned, but lost and served his kingdom from the cross. A rugged cross became his throne, his kingdom was in hearts alone. He wrote his love in crimson red, and he wore the thorns upon his head. No purple robe his bleeding wounds to hide, but stripes upon his back he wore with pride. And from the wounds there flowed a crimson cleansing stream that was a cover for the soul unclean. A rugged cross became his throne, his kingdom was in hearts alone. breath, and the world of truth upon his head.
He did not reign upon the throne of ivory, but died upon the cross of Calvary. For sinners there he counted all he owned, but lost, and he surveyed his kingdom from a cross.
The rugged cross became his throne, his kingdom walked in earth alone. He wrote his love in crimson red, and the word of the Lord upon his head. No purple robe
he wore, his bleeding wounds to hide, but stripes upon his back
he wore with pride, and from the wounds there flowed a crimson cleansing stream that was a cover for the soul unclean.
A rugged cross became his throne,
his kingdom was in hearts alone.
He wrote his love in crimson red, and he wore the thorns upon his head.
That's where it's at. We've worked with pride, you know.
That's right. What a shame.
Neither are we ashamed to bear the reproach of Christ. I'd like to be ashamed about. I'd like to make it ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what I believe, what I stand for. He said, "You wore it with pride." I wear the reproach of Christ with pride. That's where the devil knows he can't intimidate you. He loves to intimidate you. He can't intimidate you. He falsely accuses you.
Well, that's all he can do. He's falsely accused. That's what he is. Accuser of the brethren. And he has many vessels that work for him.
Ja, seinen Strahl, das ein Herrlich Glück, ließ wunderbar stille das Land, doch strahlet und glänzet wie feurige Glück, bei mir dieses Wasser bekannt. Oh, seele, bitte dich komm, und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb, oh, glaube, es fließt für dich. Wohin diesen Strom sich nur immer gießt, da jubelt und jauchzt das Herz, man will in den köstlichen Segen genießt, erlöset von Sorgen und Schmerz. Oh, Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb.
thou mayest live that fear thee. Dashtram is got thee on sein Wasser's klar. Es schmecket so lieblich und fahr. Es heilet die Kranken und steckt wunderbar. Ja, machet die Unreinsten rein. Aus Seele ich bitte, ich komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt mei und mächtiglich, und Glaube es fließet für dich. Das Wasser des Lebens, das ist diese Flut, der Jesum ergießet sie sich. Dein Haus war das teures und heiliges Blut, und Sünder ergoss für dich. Aus Seele ich bitte dich komm und such diesen herrlichen Strauch. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtiglich, und Glaube es fließt für dich. Wenn der Stetter komme und trinke sich satt, so rufet der Geist und der Brau, nur wer in den Straume gewaschen sich hat, das Angesicht Gottes anschaut. Aus Seele ich bitte dich komm, und such diesen herrlichen Strauch. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtiglich, und Glaube es fließt für dich.
There's only one message. That's since October the 15th, 2021, there's only one message, the invitation to the Bishop of the Lamb. This year's stream. I know of a stream, and it's going through the land.
Seek that beautiful stream. Oh, see that beautiful stream. Its waters are free, are flowing for thee. Oh, see that beautiful stream. Oh, have you not heard of that beautiful stream that flows through the promised land? Its waters bring light in the heavenly light, and ripple o'er golden sand. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its fountains are deep and its waters are pure. So sweet to the weary soul. It flows from the crown of Jehovah alone. Oh, come where his byways roam. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. This beautiful stream is the river of life. It flows for all nations free. A balm for each wound in its water is found. Oh, Savior, it flows for thee.
Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Will you not drink of this beautiful stream and dwell on its peaceful shore? The spirits that come, all ye weary ones come, and wander and sin no more. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. That's it. This is only one message. From here on out, and the question is, who knows this? Who knows this stream? Who's aware of it?
Mm-hmm.
Who believed that report?
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. Going through the lane,
mm-hmm.
come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Mm-hmm. Down at the bottom it says, and that thirst, come and drink.
Mm-hmm.
The bride and the spirit and the bride say, come. There's only one message left.
Mm-hmm.
From here to the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. This is that. I wish people could see it. I see it so vividly. There's not, everything else is just distractions.
Mm-hmm.
It's April the 5th, October the 15th, 2021. That week starts. And for the children of God, there's only one message. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Prepare yourself for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Wash yourself by the water of the Word. Come and take that Isaac. That's the only place you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to some of these so-called truthers. All it is a waste of time, distraction away from the real thing. There's only one message, and that is the midnight cry. At midnight there was a cry. That happened in 63. And the latest year began in 1906. You get 2021. That ends Laodicea. And when Laodicea ends, the week starts. There's no after 2 day program. See, we got it right spot on. I see it so vividly clear. There's only one message from here on out. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Come and wash by the water of the Word. Just come and listen. And there's healing in there. Everything is in this song here. See, you got everything in this here package. You got Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say so here? It'll clean you. It'll heal you. Es heilet die Kranken und Stärken wunderbar. Ja, machet ihr eins und ein. God has condensed everything into this here final chapter, come and drink out of the waters of life freely. From here to the middle of the week. In the middle of the week, you're going to have to get something else. And the two prophets, the 144,000,
mm-hmm.
going to preach the everlasting gospel. Mm-hmm. Don't partake of that beast system. That image and that beast, and don't partake of it. See, then it shifts gears, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But right now is the most glorious time. I was thinking yesterday. Right now, for Christians, it's the most glorious time to be alive. The grace age is over, eh?
Mm-hmm.
All you gotta do is come and believe what we're trying to say here. We've been butchered and slaughtered for the last 30 years, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It says my masterpiece, my oxen may butcher. It's already, all you got to do is come and believe it. If you can't feel the passion that Jesus has for mankind, for a lost and dying world, God puts everything into this last 3 years, 3.5 years. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. No strings attached, whosoever will. I thought about that yesterday. Everything. Scruff and tough, you know?
high wind to buy with people. Everybody's welcome. Just come and partake and believe what we're saying here and allow yourself to be washed by the water of that word. Allow yourself to put that eyes down. Put on clothes, you know, so you don't be found naked. It's all here. There's not 10 streams. There's only one stream.
Mm-hmm.
And it flows right from the throne of God, right through Jesus, right through that angel, and right through our vocal cords here. You ought to set it up in such a way. And like I said, all our resources goes into this. Everything we are and do and say, it's all interconnected and collected in here. That's all we live for, you know. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Let's see, Satan's got all these distractions.
Mm-hmm.
These powwows that they have, these meetings down there at Coleman. It's a dead item. It's a has-been. It's history.
It's a distraction of what of the real thing.
Yeah, but entertainment. Just to keep you oblivious to what's really going
mm-hmm.
on. That we're in the week of Daniel. We'll try and tell them that we're in the week of Daniel. We're running out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But we know we got the scriptures to back
mm-hmm.
it up. I'm kind of homesick for a country to where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, I'm looking out just across the river to where my fate shall end and sigh. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home will be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, I'm kind of homesick for a country to where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, I'm looking out across the river to where my fate shall end and sigh. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal.
Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. And she's no doubt a hearty sigh. Let it be Cain and Abel, alas, and Davies outshine it. Is dark nor anxious, yo, that under us hearts they sing not, unblocked, unnamed, kind love and stark naked. I am a longing design, does all as a set. So where did me darling, in a man again. Daily bills to Jesus bring them, suits my kind of creature. Last mother, did she die in them? Spring day, a bad day, not to. Bogaton, demon, shy, dina, then faraina. Boale, falcon, and a peely, a shine. Is the best, no trendiest mine, I know my dollars, my silliest heart. Be Maria, Barbe, please, after signing again, das is it to Jesu Fisem, Father and Ach Neder Lied, Ihr Herzweg entbrannte in his einzig zu lehren, was Jesus ihr heilen, sie wollte belehren, ihr alles war gänzlich, in Jesu versenkt, und wurde ihr alles in einem geschenkt. Also ist auch mein Verlangen, liebster Jesu, nur nach dir, lass mich treulich an dir hangen. Schenke dich zu eigen mir, ab viel auch umkehrt, denn zum Christus den Haufen, so will ich dir den auch in Liebe erlauben, denn dein Wort, o Jesus, ist Leben und Geist. Was ist wohl, dass man nicht in Jesu genommen? Aller Weisheit ich dir viele, in dir ja verborgen lieg. Geh nur, dass ich auch mein Wille deinen sollen Schranken fieb. Worinnen die Demut und dein Pfad regiere, und mich zu der Weisheit, die himmlisch ist, führe. Aber wenn ich nur Jesus bride. Nate's conic forgot ya bringin', as Lord did my next cause good. Jesus, as most mere gillingen, dork thine rosen farmers blue. The hickstick erectic hides me around all men. Da du bist am Stein
des Kreuzes
gestorben, die Kleider des
Heils ich
da habe erlangt, worinnen mein Glaube in Ewigkeit brannt. Nun so gib das meine Seele auch nach deinen Bildern wach. Du bist ja, wenn ihr willig, mir zur Heiligung gemacht. Was dir nicht zum göttlichen Wandel und Leben, ist in dir mein Heiland mir alles gegeben. Und preise mich alles vergängliche Lust. Dein Leben sei Jesu mir einzig bewusst. Ja, was soll ich mehr verlangen? Mich beschwemmt die Gnadenflut. Du bist einmal eingegangen in das Heilige durch dein Blut. Da hast du die ewige Lösung erfunden, dass ich nun der herrlichen Herrschaft entbunden dein Eingang, die völlige Freiheit mir bringt. Im kindlichen Glaube, das aber nun klingt. Volles Knigen, Fried und Freude, jetzt du meine Seele gehst. Weil auch meine frische Weide mein Herz Jesus mich gesetzt. Nichts dieses kann also
mein Herz
erlahmen, als wenn ich nur Jesus dich immer soll haben. Nichts, nichts ist das also mich ewig erquickt, als wenn ich dich, Jesu, mein Glauben erblickt. Drum auch, Jesu, du alleine sollst mein Ein und alles sein. Brief erfahre, wie ich's meine, du mir allen Heuchel schein. Sieh ab, ich hau besen betrüglich im Stege und leite mich Hexer auf ewigen Wege. Gib, dass ich hier alles nur auf die vier guck und Jesus gewinne. Dies eine ist known.
One thing's needful, Lord, is treasure. Teach me highly to regard. All else, though at first give pleasure, is a yoke that presses hard. Beneath it the heart is still fretting and striving. No true lasting happiness ever deriving. The gain of this one thing
all else can requite. Can teach me in all things to find true delight. If you seek this one thing needful, turn from all created things, turn to Jesus and be heedful of the peace and joy he brings. For where God and man both in one are united, where love and forgiveness the heart is delighted, there is the wordiest love in the vast, where Jesus alone is your joy and your rest. Our Mary's thoughts devoted, her eternal joy to find, as intended word she noted, at her Savior's feet reclined. How kindled her heart, how devout was its feeling, while hearing the wisdom that Christ was revealing. For Jesus all earthly concern she forgot, and love and devotion to what Jesus taught. So my longings upward trending, Jesus rest alone on you, all my life on you depending. Teach me what to will and do. Although all the world should forsake and forget you, in love I would follow, I'll never desert you. The words of your teaching, O Lord, are my life, my joy and my peace in this vain world of strife. Wisdom's highest, noblest treasure, Jesus is revealed in you. Let me find in you my pleasure, make my will and actions true. Humility there and simplicity reigning, and paths of true wisdom my steps ever training. If I learn from Jesus this knowledge divine, the blessing of heavenly wisdom is mine. Therefore you alone, my Savior, shall be all in all to me. Search my heart and my behavior, root out all hypocrisy. Through all my life's pilgrim garden, uphold me. And loving forgiveness, O Jesus, enfold me. This one thing is needful, all others are vain. I count all but loss that I Christ may obtain.
It's all about Jesus. Root out all hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
Root it out. The human race is polluted with hypocrisy.
No, they are.
Well, it's all very simple. Come and drink. Never a time in history. You got 3 years to clean up your act. Come and drink. Come and partake. Just remember, at the end of the day, the king comes in.
What have you done? Have you got on that wedding garment? Did you allow yourself to be washed by the water of the Word? How is it you don't have on the wedding garment? Everything, like when you go back 6,000 years, everything is condensed here. Right here in this last 3.5 years. All is condensed. All you got to do is come and drink. The blind, the lame, everybody welcome. Whosoever will. I don't know what more a person can do. Just give it out free. The Lord give it to us for free.
Mm-hmm.
How can you charge for anything?
Mm-hmm. Because in the grace age, it was to bring out a peculiar people, right? But in this time frame, it's different. It's whoever's athirst can come and drink of the waters of life freely.
Yeah, it's a different era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says the elite didn't want it. So he had to go to the highways and the byways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For those that it was prepared for, they didn't want it. They were too busy with their oxen, their land, and their materialism, and they...
I need to sing that song every day. I just thought I had design. If you want to find it, you're not going to find it in material things,
mm-hmm.
and created things. Mm-hmm. You can only find it in the heavenly things, and the Word, and Jesus, and God. I saw something during the week that almost scared me. I'm going to have to talk about it. Like when Jesus was crucified, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And I was reading here this morning. He could have called his father for 12 legions, I guess 12, I don't know how many legions are, 12 million angels. And he could call that thing off, that crucifixion thing. He had the power to do it. It says it. I just read it in Matthew this morning. He could have called for 12 legions of angels and they would have just come and put this planet right back into a vapor. He could have just destroyed a whole. But Jesus voluntarily went to Calvary. And there's nothing he could do when they falsely accused him. I read here how they falsely accused him. They tried to bring up false witnesses against him. And to falsely accuse him because they couldn't find nothing on him. So they had to lie up something. And at the end of the day, he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And then it says, I don't know where it says, that Jesus, what he did, he didn't take vengeance in his own hands. He could have, but he didn't. You know what that is? Erstellt ist aber den ein, der gerecht richtet. He didn't. He just volunteered, went to Calvary, no matter what the false accused him of. He had a mission to complete. He had scriptures to fulfill. It's a very important thing that I read to you what he said. Erstellt ist aber den ein, der gerecht richtet.
So 1 Peter 2:23.
He did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when was reviled, when he was crucified, reviled not, like I was just saying. He could have asked for 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And here in German, weil er keine Sünde getan hat, ist er auch kein Betrug in seinem Mund erfunden. Weil er nicht widerschalt, da er gescholten war, nicht drohte, da er litt, er stellte es aber den ein, der da recht richtet. And, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he was maligned, he did not answer back. When he suffered, he threatened no retaliation, but committed himself to God who judges justly. And what stuck out to me, da lebt und stellt es, aber den Heim der Darech Richter. Heavenly Father, we just read your word. Lord, I need you to help me express the things you allow me to see during the week. The tremendous seriousness of this message, Lord. How people go through life and they don't even know what's going on. I pray, Lord, you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to zero in on what God's, he said, vengeance is mine. And see, like Jesus, he did not, he just left it with the Lord, with his Heavenly Father, when he was crucified. But now, when God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I'll do it my way now. Or you don't take vengeance in your own hands. I'll look after the things. But see, what God did back in the crucifixion, he did exactly what Jesus. He was willing to forgive them. But he could not forgive them if they don't recognize it, you know, because on the day of Pentecost, I think there were 3,000 that admitted when Peter said, this Jesus whom we crucified, there were 3,000 that admitted their guilt and they got saved. Mm-hmm. And then and a few days later, another 5,000. They're the ones where that prayer, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. But the God, that great eternal spirit, through the lips of Peter, told them what they did. And they repented, and they cried out, men and brethren, what must we do to get out of the dilemma? But there's thousands upon thousands that never took advantage of that. And on those, it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And like I said, I think it was 35 years where the Spirit of the living God was wooing, was trying to bring these people that cried there, crucify him. He was trying to bring them to a place of repentance, a place of owning up to their stupidity and what they did. And Paul, he offered himself to be cursed. So only they could win. They could get to that heavenly treasure. But see, the time ran out, and there's nobody that could stop it. I was thinking about that. There was a time when they could, each one of them could have done something about it. But see, time ran out, and then the destruction of Jerusalem came. And then, where it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. If you and I, if the human race, does not take advantage of this, the grace of God, while you still can, because vengeance is coming. This thing is coming. There's no way that you and I can hold it up. There's no way that God can hold it up. There's no way that Jesus can stop what's coming. And like this one guy said, Sam, don't you think if we all got together and prayed, we could stop revelation from happening? Not even God can stop it, because it's in that word. God has put his word above his very name. The only thing that you and I can do is condition ourselves so we don't get caught up in that horrible, horrible nightmare that's coming.
People are so disrespectful. They don't even know the God who wrote this word, you know? Like this one guy in Brenham House, he said that we managed to bypass Ezekiel 38:39.
Yeah.
It's as if God is like a God that erases things. And
he put his word above his name, you know?
I can never understand people like that.
But I saw something during the week that these calamities are coming. They'd be coming. And it's a subject I don't like to talk about, because I'm going to have to mention names, and I have to talk about myself and about the people that did a number on me. Mm-hmm. Like when Jesus went to the crucifixion, it was open season on him. Everybody did whatever they wanted to him. The God that really allowed it. But then he expected people to repent, you know, of their stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he waited 35 years. I think it was 35, from 33 to 69 AD when destruction came and destroyed him at the siege of Jerusalem. And thousands upon millions of them got butchered and slaughtered because they didn't take advantage of what Jesus said, Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
God, that great eternal spirit, he was ready, willing and able to forgive if they could only fess up, you know.
That's right.
They could only kind of lean towards, yeah, we did that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do? They go down the road alive and they get hard in their hearts to the point where nothing could touch them, and then, of course, destruction came. And there is absolutely no way anybody could stop them.
Mm-hmm.
That Titus, he didn't want that temple destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
He gave orders not to destroy the temple. But see, God's vengeance, he said, I will repay. He made sure that everything gets destroyed and demolished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the vengeance of God. That's why when he says vengeance is mine, I will repay. See, you and I, we can't take vengeance on him because we don't know the full situation.
That's right.
But God goes out of his way to try to beckon and to break these people down to a place of owning up, so to speak. Just own up and just admit your, and fess up and admit you're guilty, you're just a douchebag and you messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And acknowledge it and go to the Lord and repent of it and move on, you know. That's all God requires. But I'm going back in the, we've been over this, but I saw something during the week. And how this Satan is letting this thing get by and people not even aware what's going on. But the judgment seat of Christ and the vengeance of God is happening right in front of our eyes, right in our in daylight hours, right in front of people. And they're not even aware that it's God's vengeance being lashed out on a people that refuse to own up, refuse to fess up, refuse to acknowledge any wrongdoing of any kind. But like I say, back in the Lord had been dealing with me for about 2 years to go up and speak for him. And I knew what the prize is, so I was chaffing at them, but it took him about 2 years to break me down to the point where I finally give in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't just happen overnight. I didn't just wake up one morning and decide I'm going to go after these. No, it took about 2 years to finally break me down. At first, the Lord tried to woo me by his spirit by talking to me and telling me what I need to do. And I knew many sleepless nights. And then I guess I wasn't listening good enough, and so he chopped my finger off. And instead, I was supposed to go to the Brendan Fair with the party boys, you know. And the Lord had already dealt with me to get off that how to ride roller coaster, you know, that party animal life, you know, that 5 o'clock happy hour and all that junk, all that drinking and all that. The Lord had already weaned me off that, but I guess I wasn't moving fast enough. And my brother had asked me to get the trailer ready and go to the Brendan Fair. Well, the Lord didn't want me to go to the Brendan Fair. He already warned me time and time again. So what he did, he chopped my finger off, and instead of going to the Brendan Fair, I ended up in the hospital to get my finger sewn back on. And that's step warning number one. And then he told me to disconnect myself from all this Hutterite thing. And go speak for him. And I guess I wasn't moving fast enough for the next thing. He broke my foot. So it took, this whole process took two to three years to break me down to the point where I didn't care. I just said, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to do what the Lord says. Like, I guess keep saying, he tapped me on the shoulder saying, we got work to do, let's go. It's like Jesus going to the crucifixion, you know. He had it voluntarily. And the Lord was breaking me down. I had him voluntarily. Okay, I'm going to go speak for you. And he told him what they're going to do to me. They'll just take everything away from you, your family. And all these 2-3 years, the Lord, he was dealing with me. And one day I almost killed myself. I only had a head-on collision. And the Lord spoke to me in my conscience, what good is your life if you're dead? Let me use you
for my glory, and then I'll preserve your life. And then one day I was going to Nippawa, and I almost had a head-on with and my whole family was in the vehicle. And he said, what good are your children if they're dead? Mm-hmm. That took a 2-3 year span of time before I finally surrendered. Yes, Lord. Yes, to your will and to your way. And then the day came. Well, first thing he said, there's a prayer meeting up. You need to go to a prayer meeting. That's going to need, people to pray for you. And that prayer meeting, I went up to Darren to the prayer meeting. That is what terminated me from being all right. Because my dad found out about it. He asked me, where were you? I said, I was up at the prayer meeting. And he asked me, what's wrong with our prayer meetings? Like, you know, there are sermons and stuff. And I says, I lost respect for you guys, the way you take the Word of God, treat it like a pretzel, and make it twist to fit your agenda. Anyway, I got 12 or 13 points where I can't support you guys anymore.
And they have hijacked the German language, the High German language, to manipulate it into their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would switch it over to the English, they would find that it means that it has a totally different meaning in many ways.
Yeah, like Gemeinschaft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In German, it means like this Gemeinschaft, this community of goods, mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
But in English, it's just this fellowship with fellow believers,
that's
you know?
That's right.
Complete uh-huh. different picture. Yeah, mm-hmm. they did hijack it.
But I always felt that's why I had to go over to the English language to read the Bible with different eyes because of I had really felt that they had claimed the German language and used it and twisted it to their culture, to their way of living. And I did not feel that it was right.
And really, mm-hmm. they're deceived too. And
yes.
Behind it is mm-hmm. the spirit of Satan,
that's right, yeah.
that Antichrist spirit, that mm-hmm. Isaiah Rome spirit, that has engineered this whole thing for thousands of years mm-hmm. to do exactly to bring it to where it is today. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's pretty tough to convince people that it's nothing but demonic forces. Mm-hmm. It's nothing but...
It's all deceiving spirits.
And doctors of the devil. And mm-hmm. I'm the culprit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm doing is exposing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had that day set when I went up against him. And I had a prayer meeting. And then I was called. And at the end of that day, because I knew I'm not going to recant, my father-in-law came over. And he was J.K.'s Hatchet, man. I've been over that before. I'm trying to bring something out here. Mm-hmm. You see the seers of it. And he said to me, if you don't recant as of tomorrow morning, you're done here. You got no wife, you got no children, you don't even have a name. You're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says you'll do whatever the Lord lets you do. And in the meantime, I decided to follow Jesus. Look, I knew what was going on. There was these wars going on in the heavenly realm. And I didn't know what's going on, but one day the Lord allowed me to see that spirit that's on that Hutterite nation, and it's so diabolic, I couldn't sleep for days when I saw the spirit that has been deceiving these people for centuries, and they don't even know it. They think it's a godly thing to just live community style living. But see what the Lord was doing, we were going to expose this thing, and at the end of the day, it's going to be destroyed. There's nothing left of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's trying to do here now is trying to salvage the people. There's the people in there that have somehow kept them pretty good clean, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to salvage the thing, and he wants to expose it for what it always has been. It's something but deception.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Hutterite, they really never had a revival. Their thing started way back in Nicaea, Rome, and they just kept galloping right through Thyatira. And they never had the Martin Luther experience to just to live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't allow it to come in. They just kept their bishop thing, their pope thing. Yeah, they call them an elder, the elder, you know.
But they did latch on to something else, like the Anabaptist movement.
Yeah, they switched into something mm-hmm. else. But they never really had the just to live by faith thing.
No, uh-huh.
And they
God, I could prove it to you. They kept their Jacob Hutters.
Mm-hmm.
They kept their Peter Riedemanns, and they kept their elders, you know, because in the Church of the Living God, there is no such a thing as a pope, you know.
Well, that's part of the Nicolaitan system. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, as this thing went on, like, then it was open season on Sam, you know. I lost it all in one day simply because the Lord got me to speak up, just like Jesus. He got him to go to Calvary. As is written in the Word, Jesus did it voluntarily. And at the end of the day, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And at the end of the day, it was 35 years where God, that great eternal spirit, tried to woo him, tried to bring him down. Like Paul, he just was ready to give up everything and anything just as long as he could win some of his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heart of a true Christian. That's the heart that you and I have towards these people that terminated us for simply stepping up, trying to throw them a lifeline, trying to help them. And we do the same thing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But all in all, somewhere along the road of life, God's going to hold them accountable. Like that Riverside colony, like they all signed me out. This other guy told me the other day, saying, "They Riverside, they don't want you there. You're not welcome there." Well, I knew that. It's not me that they don't want. It's what I stand for that they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus that they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the road of life, they're going to have to own up, or they're going to. This destruction is coming. And there's no way that you and I can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw that, how destruction has hit those people that did the number on me, like these Ikes, you know. It's like a power trust on these systems. It's just built on hate and power trust and jockeying for position. But these Ikes, they were about the worst. Well, if there is a worst. And they were brutal, you know. And
mm-hmm.
Now it's open season. I'm saying, let's get that animal out of here. And the thing of it is, they all knew I'm innocent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They all knew that all that guy did was speak up against the corruption in the system. And all he did was go to a prayer meeting. And now he's got the unpardonable sin. He's
mm-hmm.
he's terminated. They take his family away like it was just a dozen of jawbreakers or something that they can just go in and take.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family, it's children, it's souls. They came in just like brute beasts and just, you're out of here, 39 below zero, and with nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They got no, they are brutal. Let me tell you, that spirit is deadly. That Roman Catholic spirit, I tell you, it's got no mercy for nothing. If you as much as challenge that system, because you're dealing with a diabolical, satanic spirit, Roman Catholic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the history of Roman Catholicism. You go to school, let's read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I was going to say, when I was laid up for 2 years before I could actually walk without crutches, I had a lot of opportunity to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and the Gazebo and the Bible and read all that over. And I saw the pictures of crystal clear, and it got me a lot. You know, I did turn my face towards the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. And there's a lot of at that time. I didn't know what's going on. It was like Job when he was down in his dilemma for 7 years. He didn't know what's going on. He didn't know that God is just having this conversation with him and Satan and go try and destroy it, see if you can. At the end of the day, Job, he just stood his ground, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know what was going on. And neither did I know what was going on. The extent of it, yeah, I know they're going to take everything away from me. I knew I was going to be an outcast. I knew it was going to be history. But this continued on, and these icicles, I call them icicles. They're just as cold as anything. And there, as this thing was going on, yeah, I was kicked out. And then one day I came home for a visit, and I looked out the window, there's an ambulance. That Ike was about the worst one. There's an ambulance, and they took his wife out on a stretcher. And 2 weeks later, they buried her. Like this, like his ringleader.
Mm-hmm.
He got such a pure hatred for the John Hofer clan, and he was one of the worst ones. And here I went to the police because they had destroyed my car, and what I should do? Well, take him to court. Well, I didn't believe in going to court. It was like Jesus. He didn't take vengeance in his own hands. Mm-hmm. Also, just leave it with the Lord. And anyway, what I'm trying to say is this: I did go to the court. I did take vengeance in my own hands. I just said, Lord, you deal with these guys. Mm-hmm. You know I'm innocent. You got me into this, and you deal with them your way. And like I say, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And there was vengeance on that Ike. The brute, how brutal they were. And here the vengeance was, they came in, that ambulance came and took his wife out. Two weeks later, they buried her. And then his youngest son, he had a snowmobile accident. And just, they had a closed gasket. He was demolished so much that his whole field was just hamburger, you know. Mm-hmm. And that happened within a short period of time. And then his brother, he blew his head off with a shotgun. And these are God's vengeance in mind. I will repay. Send back off. I'm going to look after things here. And then I could go on and on about the way they treated me, you know. Like I had my permission from my dad. I was kind of driving in and out of my car because the thing was still in the courts.
Mm-hmm.
But it could just communicate somebody for no reason at all. So my dad, he was kind of on my side to some degree. So he had his garage there where he put his tractor in during the summer. So I asked him, permission to put my car in that garage that he wasn't using. He said, yeah, you can use it. I'm done with it. So I used it, and then I calls me up. And, what are you doing with that car in that garage there? I said, I got permission to put it in. Who from? Like me.
Mm-hmm.
From the person that you get permission from here, this Riverside Colony. I'll see about that. And then the next day I came home, and here they had a big round bill stuck in there, mm-hmm. so I couldn't drive my car. Things like, I can't even talk about all the diabolical things they did to me in that, mm-hmm. in that time frame. And here it's God's vengeance on them. And simply because, you know, they didn't have nothing on me. And, well, eventually the Lord said, Sam, you'll have to pick up and go, because you just leave everything with me. I'll deal with them. That's when he vengeance his mind. And it got so bad, I said, Lord, does it have to be that bad? Because he's going to wipe that whole Ike clan. He's going to wipe them right off to everybody. Because he was on his way. He was like, back in the days when you read the stories about what happened to going through the wilderness, they fell by the thousands mm-hmm. upon thousands. And he was ready to completely wipe that Ike clan completely off the face of the earth. Sons and grandsons and everything. I see his fury. And I said, Lord, does it have to be that bad? Maybe give the kids a chance. And so he kept two of them alive, that Irvin and that Lynn. But that younger son, and then his brother like blew his head up. But see, all it is, it's God's vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
It's vengeance. It's the wrath of God. The vengeance of God. And then what happened? My father-in-law, he was one of the JK's chief hatchermen. You know, he came in. You got till tomorrow morning to recant. If you don't recant, you got nothing. And I said, well, you'll do just whatever the Lord allows you to do. You'll only go so far. The Lord allows it. The Lord allows it. You'll do it. So he came over the next day and completely got me excommunicated. Got everybody to sign a paper, signed me out of there. And that's just the way it goes. I didn't know it was going to get that serious. But like I say, I didn't know what I know now looking back. All I know is they're brutal. And I knew I was dealing with a spirit. Because I've seen that spirit. That's who you're dealing with. It was pretty hard to differentiate between the person and the spirit, and the Lord warned me, don't take vengeance in your own hand, just leave it with me.
So I told him, you know, you'll only do what the Lord allows you to do. Anyway, he came in, and I was terminated, excommunicated. And then I went to this prayer meeting, and I found something in the Bible. I found something in Scripture. If two of you agree, I'll do it for you. And I knew if I could go to this prayer meeting and get two or three people to agree with me, we're going to clip that JK's wings. So we agreed right then and there that that man is a vampire. He'll step at nothing. Because he's driven by a spirit, a diabolical spirit. He thinks he's doing God a service. But we got to stop him. We got to clip his wings. So we had a prayer meeting, and we all three agreed that, Lord, it can't continue like that. You'll sell that whole Hutterite cult into the mafia. And he would have, because he said if he had six more weeks, I'd have had him exactly where I wanted him. Well, that's what he wanted to do, is sell it back to the Roman Catholic Church. But anyway, 9 months later, practically 9 months of the day, they had a meeting, and he lost that Supreme Court, and he lost the majority. And then he collected his own minority group, and now there's a split. Now there's two groups, those that support him and those that don't support him. And see, this is God's vengeance. And my father-in-law, he was pushing this thing, you know. He was the ringleader of all that. And he pushed him in there. Take a census. And in other words, take some votes here. See, he's on your side, he's on that side. Well, it's already obvious he's a crook. There's no sides here. But anyway, so this went on. And anyway, my father-in-law, we're talking about this vengeance is mine. And he got cancer. And he was trying to go all over to try to get a cure for cancer. And I was invited over to Elm River here one day, and I didn't know he was there, but there he was. And of course, when him and me got together, he was trying to prove his point, I was trying to prove my point. Well, at the end of it all, I says, I got nothing against you. I'm really the only person that cares about you, because I'm telling you the truth. I says, you've done a lot of harm to me. I had a young family. My daughter was 1 year old. You came in there, and you took everything away from me. But I said, I'll leave it with the Lord. I'm not going to go against you. I'll just leave it with the Lord. Let the Lord deal with you. And a year later, he died. But before he died, he called me over and said, Sam, everything you're saying is right, 100% true. And I thought to myself, why tell me about it? Go tell it to your preacher buddies. Then you'll be doing something. Go do what I did. Go tell it where it counts. No use telling me. Tell it to you, to that JK guy and all these preachers. Go tell it to them. I didn't tell them that. I just talked to myself. Why tell me about it? Why don't you tell them? But anyway, a year later he died and they buried him, and that's God's vengeance. And then what happens? How about the hereafter, you know? And then my dad, he knew I was right. Because after that split, I came back. And he said, well, as far as I'm concerned, you can go back to work like you before. But all you did, you left. You went away from JK. So I went back. So I went over there to work. And that's the guy we're going to go after. That's what got me going. But see, my dad was outgunned, outthanked, outnumbered. Everybody in that Riverside, I recall, wanted me out of there. And when he told me to go back to work like he did before, they didn't like that. They didn't go for that. So they called up their preacher buddies, their crooks, and I guess they got them worked up that my daddy's still along. Does he want to be excommunicated with me? Does he want to support me? So he has to do what the majority of the preachers decide to do. I got to go through this Auschwitz rigmarole to ever come back. But see, I wasn't going to go through that schmear. But anyway, we're coming to this guy, this John. His wife passed away here last week. That's what got me going on this. We already know how brutal these people are. They're living in a community, and supposed to be a fellowship of believers, but it's just like a dog-eat-dog world. It's just power trusses and everything. And anyway, but see, when the gloves are off and the Lord stands back, okay, you do with Sam whatever your heart desires, you know, and like they did with Jesus. Just how does it go there now? Eri begab, eri dan mutwila. Just do with Sam whatever you want. Just take him to the butcher. Take him to the cleaners.
You see, the thing of it is like, what people do not realize is this. When your heart is not right before God, He will create a situation like that, and that will be your test to see how you're going to handle. Like, let's say we're going to, like you were saying, like Riverside Colony. God created a situation here now with you. Now, He's going to see, and He's going to test and try the motives of every
heart
to see what's in their heart. And that's what people do not realize. They have no fear of God, that what He does is create these situations, and then He will check your motive, how you handle that that person. Are you ready just to throw him under the bus just because you do not like him? Are you ready just to discard him, just for your own selfish gain? So God does that. People do not realize that God does that. And it's all to test you, and to test every individual. Now, for another place, there could be another test for another people. But for that particular colony, God was testing them, what they're going to do with you.
Yeah, it's gloves off. Do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about this, John Drews, this electrician. He was an orphan. I just went to check out. His dad died when he was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting pretty busy. It was just too much for me to handle being an electrician and plumber. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd ask for help. And I thought, well, I'll do him a favor. He's an orphan. I'll try to help him out a bit. Mm-hmm. I'll take him under my wing, so to speak, and I'll teach him the electrical and the plumbing thing, and just get him to work for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I went to the bosses and asked permission to if he could, and if he did okay if I took him and got to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're okay with it, being an orphan and all that. So I took him under my wing, so to speak, and it was actually pretty good. He's pretty smart. I know his dad. I worked with his dad. His dad was kind of a handyman, mm-hmm. also an electrician. But I was milking cows with him. And I don't know why they had him milking cows. He was a number one class one electrician, a mm-hmm. class one handyman. He could figure things out. He would have been a good entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was working with the chickens, and he was working, like I say, I was 2 years, I think it was, milking cows with him,
mm-hmm.
and then they bought this place down in Mayfair, and then they moved down there, and he was kind of a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he had heart issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dad kind of kept him alive with vitamin E and
mm-hmm.
tried natural things for his heart mm-hmm. condition. And one day he came home, he's going in to have open heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he died on the operating room.
Oh, wow.
He never made it back.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he didn't like that and mm-hmm. going in there doing open heart surgery because he said, what if you don't make it back? Well, it's a pretty simple procedure. He made it like nothing. Well, mm-hmm. never made it back, and then he died. And then he leaves these three kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
without a dad. So I kind of took him under my wing. Like I say, I worked with his dad. He was pretty sharp. And that John guy, it was pretty handy. Like, it was good to have around, good to work with, and a lot of things I could depend on him. And I wouldn't say it was 100%,
mm-hmm.
but I've got nothing good to say about the guy. I don't say nothing bad. So, well, I got lots of good things to say about him. But anyway, now, what happens now, when I got terminated, now he takes over. He
mm-hmm.
takes over the electrical job. He takes over the... I had a nice heft on that, the colony. I didn't have it. The colony bought this electrician truck for for electrical work, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a nice 1967 single cab, blue and white, and I put some nice bucklers on the chrome, that checker plated chrome, you know. Everybody had a nice head rack in the back and lights, and everybody looked twice when they seen mm-hmm. it, you know. And that was a sign to me, as long as I was an electrician, mm-hmm. that's my truck, kind of thing. So anyway, when I was terminated, well, he takes over everything.
Mm-hmm.
He takes over the truck and the job and everything that goes with it. I'm terminated now. I'm out of there. They just signed me away, and you're done. Well, I thought, you know, I did a favor for him. I got him under my wing mm-hmm. and helped him out, showed him the ropes and everything. And first thing he did, he takes these boxes off. Well, you're an electrician now. If you want to take these tool boxes off, that's entirely your business. I'm out of it. I care less. And he puts one of these, I don't know, they call them a shaggin' thing behind the cab,
mm-hmm.
where people make out, you know, in the back there. They call it a shaggin' wagon.
Oh, okay.
He had that, put that thing in there. And, it's your business. You're running it's your responsibility now. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. And then, I couldn't care less what he does. Take the toolbox off, fine. Put the shaggin' wagon on, that's fine. I'm completely out of it. I'm on to another chapter. But the motive behind, why does he do that? Well, mm-hmm. I'll get to that. So one day he went to Arden to pick up the post or something, and then the next thing he did, he painted. He gave it a paint job, mm-hmm. completely white, painted it mm-hmm. white. And there's a guy there, a friend of mine that saw him, and is that Sam's truck? Is that the truck Sam used to have? That Sam's truck? How come it's painted? Oh, it looks too much like Sam. Mm-hmm. That's why I painted it.
Mm-hmm.
See the motive now. Mm-hmm. Now, look what I did for him for all these years. Trained him, took him under mm-hmm. my wing. And, he had a lot of bad habits, let's see. But I'm not going to get into that. Now, here he is. He's trying to erase every memory of me. First, he takes the toolboxes out. Well, it still looks like Sam because it's blue and white.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives me the paint job. And the mode of it was simply to erase every memory of what I did for him, mm-hmm. you know, completely. Well, once I found out that, I thought, man, what a backstabber.
Mm-hmm.
Here I did all this for him. And here, stab you right in the back. And when I talk to him, he thinks he's like the nicest guy you talk to. But the motive and the mm-hmm. intent is wicked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to erase every memory that Sam was ever here in this place. Well, first thing I do is take the toolboxes off, even though I know if they're good toolboxes. Next thing he gives the paint, it still looks too much like Sam. I'll give it a paint job. And throughout this whole episode, he has one agenda going. Let's erase every memory of Sam in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of work there. I took that colony from a dumpster. They had everything, wires all dangled. I did everything pretty much single-handedly. Put everything underground, you know. Sometimes I had somebody helping me. But that was before that guy came along. And but anyway, we did a lot of improvements there. And I did a lot of work there. And because they're building up the place now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I said, Lord, you deal with this guy, you know. And eventually, you know, he had an accident with it. Completely demolished it. Mm-hmm. Could have got killed. Let's see, I guess it was going too fast, and it got out of control, and hit a tree,
mm-hmm.
and just demolished it,
mm-hmm.
totaled it. Well, now, you want to get rid of Sam, every memory of Sam, now here it is, but it almost could have cost him his life,
mm-hmm.
but God, rich in mercy, he did, he kept him alive, you mm-hmm. know, and now, I got nothing to do with it. If that's what happened, that's what happened. I'm completely disconnected from what's going on in Riverside. God, when I got terminated, I know the Lord put me on a different journey. But see, what I'm trying to say is,
what is their motive? What is the intent of their heart? You know, God is checking, testing these riversiders now. What are you going to do with sand? Well, then time and time again, I come back and that guy from Parkview that left saying they don't want you there, Riverside, told me. And so, well, I don't know. I know that they don't want me. They may want me, but they don't want what I stand for. I stand for Jesus. I stand for God. I stand for justice. That's what they don't want. They don't want God in there. And that's the way they want. It's a freebie. Have at it, you know. Anyway, I could tell you a lot of stories about that Riverside game. And they moved to Rolling, especially about that Eli. I think I had it in another chapter where I decided one day, you know, I'm going to just go home. I'm trucking 5 days a week. I'll just go home. And 2 days I'll spend with my family. So that Eli guy called up. My dad, I think he was, my dad was already Alzheimer's. He was out of it anyway. He had nothing more to say. I don't know what is even alive. So I decided I'm going to go home and I'm going to spend 2 days of the week with my family. So he calls me up. What do you want to hear? Oh, I told him what I'm doing. I'm going to spend 2 days out of the week with my family. That's my place here. I worked here for 40 years. And I decided that's what I'm going to do. My kids need a dad in their home. Oh, we'll see about that. So anyway, the sergeant came down from Nippon. I tried to negotiate some kind of a deal. So I told the sergeant, well, all I'm asking for, I don't believe the way they do. I don't want to be part of their diabolical regime the way they treat people. I don't want no part of it. I just want to come here. I'll pay rent and everything. I'll pay my way. And I'll just spend 2 days out of the week with my family. Well, so that pleased. He went all, I think it was there at least 4 hours, back and forth. And he couldn't negotiate no deal with that guy, that Eli guy. And here's another one where God's vengeance, I just said, Lord, you deal with it. God's vengeance is on these people. And what's coming over him, I can't stop it. Mm-hmm. Like with the John guy. I want to stay with that John Groves guy. And yeah, like I say, I treated him good, the best I know how, and took him out. He was an orphan and did everything I knew to do. And anyway, so here, we get this text message. His wife had passed away. She had cancer. And I didn't even know that she had cancer. Mm-hmm. Because about a year ago, the Lord moved on us to send him a book about, just kind of tried to warn John, you need to clean this up. Get this thing cleaned up the way you guys treated me, the way you threw me under the bus. You need to take it to the Lord because what's going to come, I can't stop the Lord because he said, vengeance is mine. There's coming a payday for the way you guys treated me, whether you guys do it or not. Mm-hmm. I can't do nothing. I can't stop it. Just because I said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. God is trying to get you guys to bring you to that place of repentance. Mm-hmm. And it was about a year ago, I guess, we sent them that book. It's all in there. I think it's about the jester.
Yeah, the court jester.
The court jester. It's all in there, the way they treated me. Like I say, if you want to treat me that way, that's your business. But I give it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now here, you get the text message. His wife had passed away. She got cancer. And they buried her. And now here, that's God's vengeance. And what got me on this subject here, these things are happening and they don't even know why. Then this guy came by, what a big funeral they had, and not one word of being God's vengeance, you know. Mm-hmm. And then that guy that was here, he accused me of the very same thing that another couple died, that accused me of raping her, you know. Mm-hmm. They died here a year or so ago too. There again, there I said, Lord, you deal with them. I'm not going to, well, you know I'm innocent and all that. You know she lied it up and she falsely accused me of things, just like they did with Jesus here, falsely accused him of something. He was completely innocent of. But see, God is using that to expose them and to give them grace that they can at least repent of it. Because, hey, destruction is coming. Mm-hmm. judgment is coming. What did you, there's nothing I can do to stop it from coming. There's nothing that Jesus can do to stop it from coming. There's nothing God can do to stop it from coming. It's coming, just like this thing with his wife died. It's coming. You brought it on yourself. That's no way to treat somebody that did you nothing but good. And then you throw them under the bus just because you're free to do that. That don't mean that it's right. And then, like I say, a year ago, we sent him that book. You need to repent. And he usually would call me maybe 2-3 times a year. But since we sent him that book, he never called once, and there no communication whatsoever. But there's a reason the Lord moved on my heart to do that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because to kind of give him a warning, to try to prevent him from what's coming. Had he made contact, and had he done what's in that book, what he needs to do, make some kind of a owning up thing, fessing up, and repenting, taking it to the Lord, and any time between then and the day that his wife died, all he had to do was call me up. Oh, she's got cancer. Well, we'll pray, and the Lord will remove that cancer. Like when you prayed for me, like you could pray for people, and cancer, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. She wouldn't have had to die.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have yielded to that message that we sent him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we sent it, but anyway, he got the message. Like I know, he called 2-3 times a year, but now he hasn't called for a year. And didn't know that his wife had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have known, I could have maybe, but the Lord kept it from me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Said, vengeance is mine, I'm going to repay. She's going to pay that John guy for the way he treated me. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't wake up one morning, that's what I'm going to do. The Lord, like I say, he took him 2-3 years to break me down to the place where I finally surrendered, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And finally, here, his wife died.
Mm-hmm.
And it shocked me that people don't even know that he's got vengeance. Here, my father-in-law's gone. Incurable disease, cancer. Yeah, they get up in age and they die. But they die from cancer. My dad gets Alzheimer's. All these people that were instrumental to get me out of there, you know,
mm-hmm.
that threw me under the bus, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That Ike, you know, he died eventually with and there's nobody, hardly anybody left, like I say, that Ike, he died. And then his brother blew his head out with a shotgun. And his younger son got killed in a snowmobile accident. And his wife got a stroke. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks later, they buried her. Then his other brother, that Willie, he had a tremendous stroke. And just 2 weeks later, he died. The calamity of calamity of calamity. God's vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see it as God's vengeance. They say, well, just died. No, he didn't just die. It's God's vengeance on these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's gloves off. Now you're free to do with saying whatever's in your heart. And see, all what God was doing, that's in your heart. You might as well do it.
Mm-hmm.
Throw them under the bus if you want. But remember one thing. You can go crucify Jesus if you want. But there's coming a day up the road that's unstoppable. The siege of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much as even Titus had to say, you know, that's the vengeance of their God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And God didn't even show mercy.
No mercy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
But he did show mercy for 35 years mm-hmm. to a lot of them that took advantage of mm-hmm. that grace time mm-hmm. period. And here, that's all. That's what shocked me, that these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because of the way you treated Sam.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason at all. Because the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. I didn't wake up one morning, that's what I'm going to do. The Lord's mm-hmm. going to use me to expose that thing. And you can do with Sam whatever you want. Whatever's in your heart. And this is what's in your heart. There's a few people there that, like, I really got nothing bad to say about that Joe. Because there's really nobody that stood up to mm-hmm. play in defense of me.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't blame them because they didn't want to get the same dose. But there are some that you know, they're still human beings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're more human. Like, there's one lady, Cam, when they were in the process, and
she begged me not to leave, and I have no intentions of leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll do whatever they're going to do. I'm not going to recant. And so there was a few there that would have taken my side if they could,
mm-hmm.
just like at the crucifixion. There was some there that didn't agree with that deal.
Mm-hmm.
The crucifixion. There was these women there. They were sitting there crying. They didn't take part of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
They didn't rejoice in this crucifixion ordeal. And here's the same thing. Yeah, we're 2,000 years down the road, but it's the same thing. It's still that same parable. There comes the heir.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And bring all his goods upon us, and we'll take over. And it's the same thing. That it's the same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to wake people up to the fact this vengeance. I can't stop it. God can't stop it. Jesus can't stop it. It's only you yourself can prevent this from coming on to your family, to your family members. I could go on and on. I could mention that Mike from Summerfield. I called him on one day. I said, Mike, all I'm asking, I don't want to join you guys. All I'm asking is for the okay to come and visit my family two days out of the week. It was around that time when that police came down. And him and that Blumengard Jake. And they are just, you might as well talk to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You're no negotiating with him. And what that Mike from Summerfield did there, that he went and made stories. And he said, I set it up. I did all this to set it up so they would terminate me because I didn't want my family anymore. Only a devil can do that, can come up with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually, I think the guy that told him was his brother, that pop told me that, you didn't want your family anymore, so you got these preachers to terminate you. I always fainted that people would get down to such a low level of degree. And he got it from his brother, from that Mike, from that preacher Mike over there in Summerfield. And there again, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and fight with him? You going to take him to court? No. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. I'm going to repay. Just leave it with me. So I said, Lord, you deal with them. You know I'm innocent. You know that's not like I just finished out. It took the Lord 3 years to break me down where I finally did surrender, did set up to the plate, did do what the Lord wanted me to do. And here he goes and tells people, oh, he didn't want his family anymore, so he got us to terminate him. And see, my kids, they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
My family believes that's to be a truth, because he's a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, they believe it. But, so I just leave it with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So then, one day, I guess you were over there. You were over there, I don't know what you did there. You saw his foot all swollen up.
Oh, yeah, it was all swollen up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that King George, you know, have you watched that movie about King George?
They have some kind of a name for it, because I worked with somebody that had the same problem, and it, like, it swells up and it turns really red, and even after it goes down, that it's kind of, it scars or something, that color stays or something.
But it can give it a name, but it's God's vengeance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The judgment seat of Christ.
That's right, yeah.
Simply be God. Mm-hmm. How can you, like the Lord feels the pain more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't let me feel what's going through. But when I heard it, I was shocked. I almost fainted.
Mm-hmm.
That a man can get so low down in the position that he's in and go tells everybody, oh, Sam didn't want his family anymore, so he set it up so the preachers will terminate him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can even a thought like that enter into your head? And like I say, when I heard that, oh man, thought to myself, they'll step at nothing to defend themselves. So here, he gets this thing on his foot, and then, talk about God's vengeance. And then his wife, just, and I think it took 2-3 weeks, she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He got this kind of lupus, or not lupus, lymphatic system got cancer,
mm-hmm.
and 2-3 weeks she was dead. Just when he needs her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just when the kids need her. It's God's judgment, God's vengeance.
and they don't see it as such. And then he gets cancer, lung cancer and bone cancer, I think.
Something like that, spine.
And then finally here the bird, and he died. And then what about the hereafter? How are you going to answer to God the way you dealt with your position?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was the elder there for a while, the top guy. And he comes out and says, well, Sam didn't want his family anymore. And I had the best family going. She was a masterpiece. We had 5 kids. My youngest was a year old. Actually, when this thing started rolling, my daughter was just born. When my father-in-law called me up to the killing plant and had a meeting with him, and told me to back off, well, it was the beginning of the end for me.
Mm-hmm.
I let him know I'm not supporting that Hutterite system much longer. I said, and you guys done smarten up. I'm not going to support you guys anymore. That was the day my daughter, my youngest daughter, was born at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
9 o'clock, I had an appointment with him. It was practically the beginning of the end for me, because I started speaking up against their corruption. And I knew once I started really speaking, I'm not going to back down.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really the beginning of the end for me, because I knew how God had already been dealing with me on both fronts, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like even sometimes with healing, with Brother Branham, he knew that there are certain conditions that a person has to meet, and God's not going to heal this person. So he would say, go away believing. Because the Lord would show him that you're not going to get healed. The same with that Mike. I had a dream one time. In my dream, you said to me, Lorraine, why don't you come over here and pray for Mike so he can be healed? And I remember in the dream, I went there. And I tried praying, and I just could not break through. And I told you, I said, I there's something blocking. There's a blockage here that I cannot break through. And that was in my dream. And I tried praying, and I just could not break through. And I knew what Brother Brenda meant, that there's conditions. Sometimes the Lord will not heal. Because of certain things that a individual has done, even with the Israelites, there came a time where God did no longer stop what was coming, because he could no longer look at their sins, and then he let just them go into dispersion and scatter them throughout the lands. And that's the same way with people. Sometimes they cross a line that God cannot heal. And in that dream, I came to that place and I said, I can't break through. There's a blockage here. And as the dream ended, I heard a voice say, a foul, unclean spirit. And sometimes God will not heal, but there are times when a person has made, in Revelations, you will sometimes read where some of the people, they repented for their sins and they give God the glory, and then God can do something. But if people do not repent and see their wrong and give God the glory, then God cannot move. There's some people that when Brother Brenham, they called his what he was doing garbage and things, and there's some like that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Brother Brenham did not act on his own.
Mm-hmm. Neither did we.
That's right. So people, they have no fear of God, and she was blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit working through Brother Brenham. And then she ended up in the hospital, and they called him to pray for her because she had such atrocious pain. And when he got there, she already was dead, and she had such pain that her eyes even had popped out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the vengeance of God.
Yeah, see, she crossed the line.
Yes, people have no fear. They do not realize that there are boundaries that they can cross, and God can no longer reverse. There's no reverse effect anymore.
See, God is also testing you and I, see what our attitude is. Mm-hmm. Like, right to the very end, I was hoping that Mike would call you up and come over and pray for him. Mm-hmm. Remember, I sent, yes, sent the daughters, yes, the books, mm-hmm, how God cured me from cancer. Mm-hmm. And hoping that, I sent it to his brother. Well, he sent them back. And see, we do it everything. And like I said, God is testing us. See what our attitude is towards our enemies. Mm-hmm. We got tons of enemies. And we're being tested. Like I say, I knew what that John did. Mm-hmm. We did it all just to get every memory of Santa at that Riverside. Because mm-hmm, at the end of the day, in the millennium, we're going to own those places. Mm-hmm. He's going to be given to us. The meek shall inherit the earth. We're coming back to rule and reign. But before we do that, the Lord is testing us to see what our attitude is. Mm-hmm. Do you really? Yeah, I really do. That's why I said in that book, hey, clean up this mess. Mm-hmm. Because calamity is coming. Judgment is coming. Mm-hmm. God's vengeance is coming. There's nothing I can do to stop it. Then there was that other guy, that Dave, that boss there in Riverside. He's the one that shut my lights out. So, see, when we send these books to these people, we don't just wake up and decide we'll do it. The Lord moves on us. Sometimes it takes like 2-3 weeks to finally break me down to a point where, yeah, I'll send them some. So we sent that Dave that book, and he sent them back. Mm-hmm. But calamity's coming on that guy too. But all I was doing, I was trying to send him this stick and these books and these CDs and whatever was in there. There's some good messages in there. And here he sends them back. Well, if he only knew, he's cutting his own throat, you know, mm-hmm, and saying, mm-hmm, they're doing to themselves. We can't stop what's coming. Mm-hmm. And then there was this other guy here, that over in Norway, that Amos. Like I say, we don't just do things at random, eh? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I run into him sometimes 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Let's run into him, but I go to Canadian Tire, and he's there at Canadian Tire. I don't like to go talk to them, but so I just saw him there, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like I say, 3 times a week, he'd be at the very same spot. A week, a few days prior, like I say, sometimes 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell what the Lord is dealing with me to make contact with him. Mm-hmm. Give him that invitation. What it is, the Lord is moving on me, Sam, give him an invitation to come to the Mary Supper for the Lamb. That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, the only one we got is a book. Mm-hmm. So we send him some books, the invitation to the Mary Supper for the Lamb, and Jeremy's testimony and the CD. Well, here, about a week after I sent him the books, or 2 weeks after I sent him the books, I took time out, and I met him at Sobe, so I went and talked to him. Hi, Amos, how are you doing? Good. So, do you get the books that I sent you? Yeah. So what do? Throw them out? Some of them. He says, that's the worst thing you can do. He said, just throw these books out. They're an invitation. That's the only thing that's left in this world. Mm-hmm. This message here, and you throw it out. If you throw it out, you might as well just pack it in. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing he could have done. Well, we went in the store, and I guess we drove off. And anyway, here, 2 weeks later, I noticed his wife had passed away. And then this time I give the books, and from the time his wife had passed away, I was checking. He's got 42 grandkids. And we had a message here some time back about it. Rahab, if that Amos would have yielded to what God has for him in this hour, because it's all biblical, you know, mm-hmm, these books I gave him, his testimonies, and it's all biblical. All he had to do was just yield just a little bit. Lord, is this true? Just like, let's say, maybe 5%. Mm-hmm. Question it, Lord. Yeah, okay, pretty good. And then God would have done that great eternal spirit, not seeing him, because how God's heart is bleeding for his whole household to come right in that heavenly chamber. Mm-hmm. God would have seen to it that man, his sibling, his children, and his grandkids, because I count them, 42, would have all somehow made it to the very supper of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. I saw it. But him rejecting this thing, God can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. That's how passionate God is. if people would only understand and believe what we're saying here. Because he told that, what is it, Cornelius? If you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't do nothing about it, it's you. If you get yourself to the place where you believe what I'm trying to say here, your whole household will be saved. Mm-hmm. He told it to that jailer, you know what? When he cried out.
Mm-hmm.
And he told that jailer, if you believe, your whole household will be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you read Acts.
Like will, Rahab, you know?
It will say the whole household.
Yeah, and here, that Amos, I like the guy. I've run into him. I work with him down at Heartland. And my heart goes out to the man. He's working hard work and everything. Then he ends up here in North Quay, and he's pretty likable person from a little I know. But here, he throws these books out, you know, and burns them up. And rejects that invitation to the marriage supper, and there his whole household goes down the tube.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that'll break God's heart? But what can God do? It's his decision, what he did.
Mm-hmm.
See, like I say, we can't stop what's coming. This thing is coming. In 3 years, you're going to see the week of Daniel kick in, the last part of the week. And you're going to see Satan kicked out. This is the last 3 years of... before all hell breaks loose, so to speak. And here he's rejecting it. Right now is the time where people need to respond.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to see. See, they fear not God, you know. They see all these calamities come, and the Satan, he's got them so blinded, and so, it just happened, you know. It just up and died. Oh, it's God's vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because you could have prevented it. You could have repented any time. You didn't have to throw sand on the bus. He did nothing. You got nothing on him. I told that Blumengard Jay, one of their, I think I was about 7 meetings already with them. And I knew they determined, you got till sundown to get out of here. So I got up. I says, Jake Federer, I treat him with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's not respectable. But anyway, I got up. He just read my sentence to me. You got till sundown to get out. If you don't get out, the sheriff will get you up.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to do whatever you say. But before I do, I want to ask you, Jake, you're the leader here. Yeah? You're what the Bible would call the religious leader. Yep. So who crucified Jesus? Where do you want to go with that? I said, you know very well I want to go with that. You got nothing on me.
Mm-hmm.
These Pharisees had nothing on Jesus. So what did they do? They hired a Roman army to crucify him. You're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just said so. You get till sundown to get out of here. Otherwise the sheriff will be here. I'll leave you alone. I'll just up and leave. But before I do, there's one thing I'm going to remind the Lord how you guys operate here.
Mm-hmm.
And they all heard. There was a whole bunch. There was about 24 of them there. And they all heard me say it. I said, before I leave, I'll go up to my closet and I'll tell the Lord how you guys operate. So whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged therewith. So what I'm trying to say here, I've done everything that I know to do to prevent the calamity that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I warned them. I warned the John guy. And then there's another. We try to warn that Mike from Summerfell. We send them the books and they throw them out, no doubt. But we never did get a call. And then there's another episode. I want to see, show people how God's vengeance, how God, the judgment seat of Christ is ongoing right now. And you asked me one morning, you got up, and do I know anybody from Woodland Colony? I say I know of them, but I really don't know them personally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked you why. He said, well, you had a dream about these two ladies there. They were singing the same songs we were singing, like we were almost like we were in harmony with them. Well, I told you what the only one that I know that has any spiritual connection there would be that Mike.
John Wallner from Milltown, because he taught his children, grew up, and told them about the things of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so you end up sending some books,
mm-hmm.
and I guess he sent it to, he put Wallner in the back.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? John and Matilda Wallner? But her name is really Hofer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here the phone rings one day, and I don't usually pick up the phone. Usually I just see who it is, and maybe if they leave a message, fine. If not, but anyway, I pick the phone up. Here's that Matilda's husband, that John, that preacher from Woodland. And he was, oh man, he was furious, ranting and raving mm-hmm. about me sending him some books. And like we did the unpardonable sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't even get in sideways to explain why we sent the books
mm-hmm.
in the first place. So I guess we sent them a letter afterwards
mm-hmm.
and explained why we sent these books there. Because anyway, it's all on there, what we did, and explained ourselves. We didn't really do it for you. We did it for your wife. We had a dream, and
mm-hmm.
we thought we'll give her an invitation. And see, these are invitations to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if they reject it here, man, I love them. They're going to reject it down the road, too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he called me out. Oh, he was furious. I mean, I couldn't even get sideways.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get one word in. And anyway, then here, I think it was maybe a month later, we checked here, he died.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I went to look how many colonies. I guess he must be like one of these brute beasts, you know. He's really a hard man to live with, because most, I think, seven or eight families left there. And his own children, most of them are gone. I think there's one or two at home. But what does that tell you? He's just like a madman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord takes him off the scene. And see, these are just things. Our heart and our attitude toward these people are not like they claim to be. Looks like the story is out, we're trying to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, destruction is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to prevent it from destroying you. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like that guy that was here last week. Falsely accused me of a lot of things that I'm completely innocent of. I let him know, hey, there's a tremendous penalty for
falsely
accusing somebody mm-hmm. that is completely innocent of.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized these people, you can tell them anything. They can't see this as God's vengeance. You see that on that couple that accused me of attempting to rape,
mm-hmm.
and then she dies with lung cancer and bone cancer. 45 years she lived with that false accusation.
Mm-hmm.
Not once did she make an effort to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mom even, she could hardly walk. I know she couldn't crawl steps. She had to go on her hands and knees to get up two, three, you know how it is when you enter a house or something,
mm-hmm.
two, three steps.
Mm-hmm.
She had to get on her hands and get up those steps because she was already hardly can walk. But she made it in there and she told her, you know, you need to clean up this mess. You need to clean up this deal here. That's what I heard. I didn't see her doing that, but that's what I heard. And her last, you know, a year later my mom died, but she tried to get her, that lady that accused me of attempting
mm-hmm.
to rip, to clean up this mess before she dies,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think she even mocked her for trying to convince her to clean up this mess. See, this is, like I say over and over again, we can't stop what's coming. We're just trying to prevent it from having an effect on you, and the only way that you can do anything about is to recant,
mm-hmm.
repent, fess up, take it to the Lord, because it's coming. This thing with this, like I say, why did I know before that John's wife had cancer? Well, the Lord never did bring it to my attention. Probably we already decided that he's not going to do nothing about that booklet we sent him, you know,
mm-hmm.
where we told him we need to clean up this. Take it to the Lord.
Because it's coming, you know. Mm-hmm. Calamity is coming. We just can't do nothing about it. Nothing that you and I can do about it. It's coming. It's just as coming. Just like, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. You can be rest assured. We still got 3 more years. So at least 3 more years of the sun will be coming up. And after that, too, the sun will be coming up forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how sure you can be that this calamity is coming on these people that did a number on me. Because mm-hmm. God hauled me out to do that very thing. Mm-hmm. And what God was doing was actually preparing me for what we're doing here today. Mm-hmm. For bringing out that living water. But before we could deliver that living water, he had to check our attitude, to make sure our attitude is clean, and to make sure we qualify to do that very thing. So we got no animosity towards any one of them. We can vouch for that. Like I say, sometimes people have done me so bad, it takes me 2-3 weeks to kind of till I give in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just sometimes the Lord is checking our attitude. What's your attitude towards that guy? Like that guy that shot his wife, man. I thought I'd never go visit him. And here, I knew his wife, that ex-Hutterite mm-hmm. that shut his wife down in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And here the Lord moved me to go visit him. Well, took me about a month. Yeah, finally I broke down. Yeah, I'll go visit him, Lord. So here they closed the border, you know, mm-hmm. and I couldn't go down. So sometimes, like I say, sometimes the Lord will check your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you went down to visit that Mike in the hospital, the Lord just, well, you couldn't talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord was probably just checking your attitude to see if you have any animosity towards him, the way he treated you throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as far as I know, we got no animosity towards anybody. We're just trying to prevent what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stop it like that, Amos. I said, Mammoth, you should not have done that. That's the worst thing you could have done. Because I knew at the end of the day, this is the only thing from here on to the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. There's only one message. There's only one stream. We're living at that time frame. Everything else is just trash. Just tables of vomit. These meetings they're having down there, I'll listen to a little bit of it. Oh, man, thank God for getting me out of that mess. Mm-hmm. And here, there's only one stream. If I sign in Strom, that's an Hallelujah flute. Sing that song over and over again. It'll take you to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we're going to sit down, and that's where it's all leading to. That's what I'm trying to say here. I don't know, did I? There's a lot more I could say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've had so many experiences from people trying to do us harm, trying to destroy
yeah.
us.
Mm-hmm.
Very people we've helped or tried to help. What did they do? They turn around and stab you in the back. And there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. This is our passion. This is our life. And that's not only our, that's the passion of the Christ. I've seen it. How passionate he is to save all mankind. Mm-hmm. And he knows. He knows he can't stop what's coming. He knows there's only very short only 3 years more left. And his passion has not stopped. Like he's putting everything in here the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody welcome. He goes so much as to say, to him that is a thirst, let him come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Where are you going to hear a message out there today where there's no strings attached?
Mm-hmm.
Where all you got to do is partake of it and it'll take you right to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Where are their messages taking them to?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that message taken to that they preached last
exactly.
night and yesterday? Where's it taking them to? Just into more misery.
Mm-hmm.
Just making sure they don't find the real thing.
You know, I was listening actually with an open mind for some reason. And the only thing after I didn't listen to all, but just to see the spirit of things. And then the only thing that came to me was a distraction. It's distracting people for the day and hour they're living in.
10 years ago, the Lord got me to share that midnight cry with them.
and they rejected it. There's nothing. There's not. Once you reject, like in the days of Brother Brennan, mm-hmm. once they reject it, and there's only one thing left,
mm-hmm.
what you see in America today,
mm-hmm.
then they rejected Brother Brennan. There's only one thing for the Brennanites left. They'd be going around the wilderness mm-hmm. for 40 years. Nothing left. It's mm-hmm. message to Brother Jackson. And then here's the same thing. You reject this, I'll tell you. And like I say, God's tested our attitude. What's your attitude towards people? Well, they can throw us under the bus if they want to. We're not going to hold it against them. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to pay for it. Look how we've tried to help people left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, knowing full well, they'll stab us on the back of my heartbeat. But see, the passion of Christ,
yeah.
that's a passion for mankind. Because he knows he's the only one that through which they can come to that
mm-hmm.
heavenly glory.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we say here, the Sam and Lorraine chapter, it's really not our chapter. You could hear you singing that song. It flows from the throne of God.
Yeah.
We're just a vessel that God has owned out and tested and proved and found us faithful, delivered that meat and due season, and to set us in charge of all his goods. What are his goods? There's living water.
Mm-hmm.
What else can it be?
Mm-hmm. And you look at God's chain of command. When you look how God worked in the Old Testament, the angels, and then he had a vessel on earth that would be the leader of the people. In the same way here in the New Testament, it's Jesus, given to Jesus to give to the angels, to give to the vessels that God has ordained before the foundation of the world, that he's going to work through that channel. And God has always worked through people. And it's not a new thing.
No.
It's not
something we made up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I was even reading that in what Brother Jackson said, that God always has people that he works through. And he's always done it like that. It's just a principle of God. It's not a new thing that we're saying. This is the channel that God is going to work. It's working through. It's not something we thought up. It's something that God has allowed us to see.
And we don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it for you. We got nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is come and drink, come and partake of it. Heavenly Father, we just had a conversation around your word. We just give you thanks for this. Another day of life, all you do for us, Lord, you allowed us to see the crystal clear picture of who you are, right from when you had that great council. You walked us right through that, the creation of those angels, and then we built a laboratory down here to test these angels with, and you had to bring in the ice ages, and then you started with Adam and Eve, and to test mankind to see if they're going to be worthy to enter into that millennial reign, like your word said. To those that will be found worthy to go into that age of regeneration, Lord. We just pray for faith and for grace that we will be found worthy, Lord. As far as up the road as we've come, Lord, we still know we haven't reached our end yet. We still know we haven't endured to the end yet, Lord. And we just pray for grace that you'll help us do that very thing, Lord. We just pray you'll take the words from inside. We come against everything, every weapon that would be formed against us, Lord, that they will not prosper. Every negative word or deed that's formed against us and against your word, it will come to nothing. All these negative thoughts and negative weaponry, we just pray, Lord, that they'll just be dismantled. And we just send them back to the sender, Lord. We know what you're up against in the closing days of time, how Satan and his fury will try to shut everything down and then try to destroy everything that is of you, Lord. We'll see him in history, how every time he did something, he's right in there to distract it, destroy it, pervert it, Lord. I just pray you'll plead the blood of Jesus of this message, Lord, that he'll not be able to penetrate it. He'll not be able to say something that was never meant to be said, Lord. So we ask all these things, Lord. We ask you to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.